Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name.
Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing my lips, my mouth will praise you.
Hear the music ring, and the Father in heaven, Lord God, you are worthy of all of our worship. You are worthy of all of our praise. For Lord God, you are God. Lord, you spoke, and all that is became. Father, you formed us in our mother's womb and made us who we are. Father, Lord, you sent your Son to the cross to die for our sins, that we might be forgiven and stand before you. Father, Lord, we are eternally grateful. And we do give you our praise. We give you glory. We give you honor because you deserve that and so much more. Father, Lord, we love you and we praise your name today. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Welcome to Westminster Bible Church. Welcome to... Now I'm going to get the date wrong. I know it's Sunday. It is the 15th. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't that cool? You're like, what's the matter with you? It's the 15th. There will never be another May 15th, 2011. Think about that. Welcome to the day. It's a brand new day. The Lord made it. There's never going to be another one just exactly like this one. Can we enjoy that? Can we praise him for that? Well, let's do that. Praise God.
Praise God.
I think we can do that better. Praise God.
Praise God.
I think maybe just a little bit better. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise his name. That's what today is about, honestly. Today is a day to praise the Lord. It's a little bit of a faith day for us. I'm always a little nervous when we have one of these days because we open up the microphones and I'm not exactly sure, you know, who's coming up and what you guys are going to say, but we take it on faith that the Lord has been working on your lives. We take it on faith that you have some stories to share with your brothers and sisters. And while you're thinking about how God might be working in your life and what you would want to share this morning, I want to share a passage of scripture that I came across this past week. It's in the book of Philemon, of all places. It's not a book that we go to very often. But Philemon chapter, it's only one chapter. It's just one little letter. Verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Paul is writing to his friend Philemon. Because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And Philemon, probably the church in the Colossian church, was meeting in his home. Actually, I said friend, but Paul had never actually met Philemon. But the church was started as a result of the Ephesian ministry. And then he says, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Did you catch that? I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. And if I can preach just a little bit, the sharing of your faith. Certainly, that speaks of sharing the gospel, doesn't it? Evangelism. And one thing I'm praising God about, I've been praising God about this all week, is that last Saturday, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, there were nearly 20 people from this body out at the Flower and Jazz Festival sharing God, sharing their faith with people who needed to hear it. Now, if you were there, you know that we, you know, many of us stumbled and fumbled and bumbled our way through it. And that's okay, because what counts is that we were doing it and that it was our desire to honor to the Lord and to praise him by sharing him with others. And that's a major praise in my heart. We'll get better the more we do it. But the fact is, we want to do it and we want to get better. And we can praise him for that, can't we? But also, the sharing of your faith here, that's actually a variant of the word koinonia. It has an idea of fellowship, fellowshipping with your faith. That's also going to include telling others what God is doing in your life, telling them about the greatness of God, who he is, and how he's working for you. And it's through that sharing, through that koinonia, that your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing. When we went through Ephesians, I talked about this word for knowledge, epignosis, which is, see if you guys remember, what's that word mean? Overknowledge. Someone's got it. Overknowledge. Experiential knowledge, a full knowledge. It is in the sharing. It is in the sharing that our knowledge of God becomes full and complete. And how cool is that? So I want to have some time this morning for you guys to share what God's doing in your life so that your full knowledge of Christ will become complete. So we have some microphone stands on the floor, and they can be moved out. This is a time for the body to come forward. Would anyone, is God working in anybody's life? Yes? I heard a yes. Why don't you come forward and share what God's doing in your life? Sure, Pam. Pam's up. And to praise the Lord for what he's done, for his faithfulness, for his awesomeness, for his righteousness, for his healing, for his comfort. Let's praise the Lord. Please stand.
The Lord is good to all. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them.
Please go ahead and be seen. God is right there sustaining and providing, and he's kind of got the hand on the chisel. You can't be in better hands. Amen. Anyone else want to share? Anyone else have anything? April, I'm going to.
Am I allowed to stand? How about to stand? Well, I got to sit and listen to all of you lovely people speak about what God has done. And I second Ben. It's kind of hard to pick and choose out of all of the different moments. God has been faithful in my life. He's just always so faithful, so wonderful and merciful. The past couple of years, I went away to college. I made spent a long time praying about where I would go, where I would be, and I ended up in a school in Indiana in the middle of nowhere, and it was exactly where God wanted me to be, but it was very challenging. It was an experience that really stretched me, and after the year, it was clear that it was time to move on. And it's just so wonderful to see what God has done, how I went to Spain after that, and that was time of excessive healing after my time of sort of being tested. And then I've been in Chicago, and I think the thing, if the Lord has taught me one thing, he's taught me the amazing power of prayer, and how prayer is, you know, I don't know how you get through the day unless you're talking with the Lord. I don't know how you get through trials or pain unless you have him, unless you're speaking, unless there's this constant conversation. And it's amazed me even more. Being in Chicago, I'm constantly around people, you know, their buildings, and I just see all of the different windows, and I think of how many people are inside those windows and how many people I see on the street, and I'm really impressed by the utter need for people to hear the gospel. And so I've started praying about opportunities to share the gospel via my life or via words. And just in the past week, I've been able to share with my cab driver. I've been able to share with a boy who grew up in the slums, and I don't think has ever heard of God's love for him. And so, God is wonderful, and I could ramble. I probably am. So, prayer. That's been the lesson that I've learned, and I love that he's always faithful to teach me more and more. And that there's never a point that I get to where, oh, you got it, you've attained sanctification. And so I love that he's faithful to continue sanctifying me throughout every experience. So.
Thanks, April. Anyone else?
I feel like I should introduce myself. For the few of you who haven't had a chance to meet me yet or don't know me, my name's Alicia, and I've been going here for about 5 months, but there's a little background to that. I moved down here to Westminster about 2 years ago to go to college and to take a position with a company down here. And long story short, it was very, very clear to me that God had closed door after door after door, and that this was the open door, and this was where I was supposed to be. Excuse me, I don't know why I'm getting emotional. It's not even really that. Anyway, okay. So I moved down here, and because of the interviews with the company and everything and the discussions I had had with the administration there, I was convinced that I had a church family all picked out for me here, that, you know, God was sending me to this church because that's the one I had the opportunity to go to, even though I was working weekends and things like that. Not this in particular, but this in general, that he had a church picked out for me. Well, so I moved down here in May 2009, and I found out as I got involved with the position that no, in fact, that was not the case, that the church I thought I would be attending, I was not going to be able to be a part of due to the requirements of the job, and in fact, due to the requirements of the job, I was not going to be able to regularly be a part of the body at all. And that was a real struggle for me because I grew up in the church, and that's what I've known my whole life is, you know, the church has been my family and my support system. And I think that when you come from that background, you take it for granted. And, oh my gosh, really? Okay, so I think you take for granted what a gift the body is. And so, you know, I got to the point where I was like, God, I know that your will and your desire is for us to be part of the body. And I don't understand where you've brought me to this place where I feel like a severed appendage. And in January, God gave me the opportunity to be restored to the body. I moved to a different position with the company. And he just, I think it was a time of learning for me that, you know, you've taken advantage of this for so long and you've taken it for granted. And you didn't realize what a gift it is to have a body and to have a family in Christ. And so anyway, now I'm just really appreciating the gift to be part of a body again, to be involved in service again, and to have opportunities to be grateful for that. So be grateful.
Thanks, Alicia. Thanks, Alicia. Hey, Alicia, before you leave the microphone, you're doing something this summer. God's going to do something praiseworthy for you and in you this summer, isn't he?
Yes.
Why don't you share that with us?
So in addition to being part of a body again, I also have the opportunity to be involved in short-term missions as well. That was a huge part of my spiritual growth, growing up and through high school and things. And so this summer, I am actually taking a 2.5-week trip to Bolivia. We're going to be hiking through the Inca Mountains and doing ministry presentations to the small villages along the trail. And then we're going to be doing a work project at a camp called Camp Yungas, which takes youth off the streets of Bolivia, brings them into the camp, and teaches them about God. So another thing to be thankful for. If you want to know more about the trip or help be a part of it, you can let me know. So,
Alicia, do you need any support for that trip?
I do. I still need about $1,100. The first like half of it is paid, but the second half is not really paid. So, I actually have some like response cards and envelopes for the organization. We're going with Sousek Evangelistic Association out of Gettysburg. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. And the missionaries that we're working with down there are with SIM, Serving in Mission. So, like I said, if you want to be a part of it, and really, if you would just pray about it, because that the hearts of the people would be open and that we'd be able to communicate with them. And so,
amen, amen. It's been a little while since we've done much with short-term missions here, and if you know me at all, you know it's been somewhat painful for me not to be involved in short-term missions. And you know, Todd was in Jamaica this past week. And Alicia is going to Bolivia, and next month we're sending a team down to Mexico. So there are things to pray about, things to praise the Lord about, and also things to be involved with. You can be involved in each one of those trips through prayer. You can be involved in each one of those trips through sending your support, supporting Alicia to go, supporting the Mexican team to go. It's a little bit late for Todd. He's back, but we can still pray that for the effects of the trip in his heart. God is working. God is alive, despite what some people think. He is there. And I could not imagine going through life without him. I could not imagine going through struggles without knowing the nearness of the Lord. And there are things that happen to us, in us and around us, every day that are attributed to God. And I just want to take some time to reflect on the little things that we have. You know, it rained last night. You know what the world's like if there isn't rain? Just little things. There are plants growing. You know what the world's like if the plants don't grow? If the sun doesn't shine, if the air doesn't contain oxygen, there's not much life going on. All of that is in the palm of God's hand. He created it. He set it in motion. He maintains it. We can praise him for that, can't we? Amen. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward and just spend a quiet time of reflecting before the Lord all the things in your life that you have to give him praise for.
Thank you. holy, holy are you, Lord God, and we do come and we praise you, for you are our creator of all things. And the amazing thing is that the creator of all things has become our salvation. We have life in you. For you say that in you we live and move and have our being. And surely that is true. It's been shared this morning. The life that we have with you, the life that you have, that you live with us, Lord God, that you are always with us, Lord God, that you care about us, that you love us, that you call us your children, that you care about our maturity. You care that we would be growing to be conformed to the image of your dear Son, the one who died upon the cross and in whose righteousness we stand before you, before the very throne of God. It is not our doing, but yours. And so we come, and we are just so grateful, Lord God, for the life that you've given us. And Lord, we just rejoice in the eternal life, and I so love your definition of it, Lord Jesus, that eternal life is knowing the Father and knowing you, Lord. So we have eternal life now because we know you, and that's has restored us, has restored what was broken, what was lost, that now we are redeemed, now we belong to you. Lord, as we come as your people, we just thank you for your continued work in all of our lives, Lord. And I just want to hold up Angie and her mom and that difficult situation. And Lord, I know that you are with them. I just pray that you would let especially Angie and the family know your very presence as they go through this difficult time. And we look for your grace and your healing, Lord, in that whole situation. And Lord, we also want to pray for Orville and his dad. And he's had difficulties, Lord, and we pray that you would uphold him as well. And Orville, as he is concerned for his dad. Lord, we also recognize that on Wednesday, Vivian will have surgery. And Lord, we thank you for the medical community and the wisdom that they have. But Lord, our lives are in your hands. And so we look for you to guide the surgeons. We look for you to be her healing, Lord God. And for we just pray that as she is being prepared for the surgery, that she would just know your very presence and your comfort. And that Ron also, as he waits outside. And we just thank you that she is in your hands. And we just really appreciate that, Lord. Lord, we've talked about the Mexico mission trip, and we pray that even now you'd be preparing the way, both for going to support the bees and for the impact that the team will have on the orphanage. But more than just on the physical things of the orphanage, the impact that they will have on the people. We pray for those divine appointments where we have the opportunity to share the love of Christ. Thank you that you give us those opportunities, Lord. Lord, we now want to just recognize the giving. And Lord, we pray that the money would be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. And Lord, we give the money willingly. Well, it's not ours anyhow. but more than the money, we desire that you would have our lives complete. So it's in the name, the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray these things. Amen. Children are dismissed, I believe.
Okay, we have a few announcements to make this morning. Am I on today? Hello? Can you hear me now? All right. We have a few family life announcements to make this morning. Awana night out. Next weekend is Awana's last evening. Just want to remind everyone that we are all invited for the festivities there next Sunday evening, May 22nd. That is right. It is next Sunday, isn't it? Dates baffle and befuddle me. I don't know why. Also, the Mexican missions trip, we are closing the trip as of this Wednesday. So if you are interested and have not yet let me know that you're coming, please come and talk to me about that. We will be going June 21st, which is a Tuesday, through June 27th, which is the following Monday. We're going to be doing some construction projects, but mostly doing some electrical wiring in the orphanage there. And just seeing, you know, supporting Andy and Jenny on the field and praising God while we're there. Baptism. We're going to be having a baptism here June the 12th, and I'm pretty sure I got that date right. Check on your calendars. It is a Sunday. And June 12th, we'll be having a baptism. If you are interested, or if you maybe are interested, or if you're thinking about being interested, please come and see me and let me know, and we will work that out for you as well. Also, just a reminder that the summer agape meals, we kind of take the summers off because of vacations and people moving around so much, so we won't have another agape meal until September 1st. Hopefully, we'll be having several picnics this summer, so stay tuned for those. Also, Ladies Fellowship, June 7th. Pam, you have an announcement for that? And guys can't come. Okay. Well, I heard there'd be appetizers and food. You know, I thought it was worth a try. June 6th. Okay, so it's not Tuesday. It's Monday. It's Monday. Okay. See, dates are really strange. They're difficult for me. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 145. I have a whole sermon prepared for today because I didn't really know how long the testimonies were going to go. I'm not going to preach the entire sermon, but we are going to quickly move through Psalm 145. Let's open our time in the Word in prayer, and then we'll proceed. Father, Lord, we do come before you, and we are thankful, Lord God, for the praises, Lord, that we're received this morning. We're thankful for your work in our lives, Lord, not the least of which is our salvation, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to die for our sins. Lord, you paid the debt that we could never pay. You bridged the gap that we could never bridge between us and you. And Father, Lord, you did it by sending your own Son. And Lord, we are eternally grateful. And Father, Lord, may the praise of his name, Lord, be on our lips today and every day going forward. And may we be certain to give you your due and to give you your praise because, Father, what else do we have, Lord, that you desire? What do you need from us, Lord, if not our eternal adoration? Father God, we give it to you this morning, and we pray for your hand upon our time as we look into your word. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Psalm 145. Last week, as we were finishing up Ephesians, we were very much in the middle of spiritual warfare, weren't we? In the book of Psalms, Psalm 144 would be somewhat of the spiritual warfare psalm. Let me read the first verse of Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. We're changing. We're moving past that now. We're moving into the worship of the Lord. And Psalm 145 is a transition for us. It's also a transition in the book of Psalms. It's moving from the previous Psalms into the last five or six Psalms in the Bible, which really are called the book of praise. They're the Hallel Psalms. Hallelujah. Does anyone know what hallelujah means? Can someone translate that for me? That's not on the praise team? Praise the Lord. When you say hallelujah, know that. You're saying praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The last five psalms of the Bible are praise psalms, and 145 is transitioning into those. And it's the last one in Scripture that was actually written by King David, at least, and you know, the psalms aren't in chronological order. But David wrote this one in the Hebrew. It's an acrostic, which means each verse starts with a different consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. save maybe one. It's a beautiful psalm, praising God for his mighty acts, praising God for his character and his mercy toward us. As a psalm, it was a part of Hebrew worship. Actually, if you're a practicing Jew, you would probably recite this song or read it three times a day, twice in the morning, once in the evening. It's a song. It's meant to be put to music. It's part of your worship. Now, we don't know what the original music was like, but as a piece of poetry and as a song, it really is a shame to kind of take it apart and break it down. Of course, that's not going to stop me, but I thought what we'd do to open is read it in its entirety so we can see the whole message that David is communicating through this wonderful psalm. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious, the splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works. I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him, and he will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. And all God's children said, amen. 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 Did you catch, when I read through that, did you catch the verbs that David is using when talking about what he's going to do or what he should do in response to God's greatness, to God's mighty acts? Look at the verbs. Extol, bless, praise, declare, meditate on, tell, utter, speak, make known. What does that suggest to you about praising the Lord? It's active. What else might that suggest to you? It's a choice. Good. What else might that suggest to you? It's responsive. Here's what I'm going for. It's noisy. It makes a sound. It's not silent. It's not kept to yourself. Praise of the Lord is something best shared. With who? Everybody. It's best shared with everyone. We talk about being a witness for Christ. We talk about going out and doing evangelism. Do you understand that praising God is as much being a witness as doing evangelism? And I'm not demeaning or lessening the importance of either one, but they're both part of the same thing, to witness. And Jesus said that you will be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Praising the Lord is not a silent thing. Does the praise of the Lord come off your mouth, out of your lips easily? Does it come out of your lips verbally? Does it come out of your lips? Does it come out of your heart? That's the question we ask ourselves as we look at a psalm like this. And I know that we're running short of time, and I won't belabor the point, but it's a song. It's meant to be sung. And most of the time when we sing songs, do we sing like this? Oh, praise God from whom all blessings flow. No, we sing out. We sing up to the Lord. We are to praise him. Full-throated, full-voiced praise. I will extol you, my God, O King. My God, O King. Do you realize this was David writing the psalm? David was the king, wasn't he? Wasn't the king of Israel, God's chosen elect? David was the king, but he is ascribing to God the fact that God is the true king. The world belongs to him. And I will bless your name forever and ever. And we talk about eternal life. Do you realize we get to do this forever? We get to praise God forever and ever. Now, only if you know him. Because if you don't know him, you really can't praise him, and you're not going to do it forever. There's something else you'd be doing, and that's not a fun thing. But if you know him, you get to praise him forever and ever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day. I said, if you're a practicing Jew, you'd recite this psalm 3 times a day. Twice in the morning. Why in the morning twice, do you think? Yeah. It puts your mind in the right place. How different would your day be if you woke up in the morning and you started praising God for who he is and for the fact that he's given you another day, and it's this day, and whatever comes, you're going to praise God this day. How would your outlook on life change? How would your demeanor change? And believe me, folks, I'm preaching to myself this morning because I need to hear this. How would your demeanor change if we woke up praising God for the day? Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Certainly, the ways of the Lord are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. We can't completely understand him. We don't understand how God is 3 in 1. We don't understand how Jesus was both human and God. We don't understand a lot of things. But the fact that he's unsearchable doesn't mean that we can't respond to what we do see, what we do know, and what we do experience of him. And we should respond, and our response should be praise him, to praise him. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. There's our intergenerational discipleship right there. Passing the torch, relaying the information off to the next generation, telling of the things that God has done, what we did this morning. Sharing with each other how God has been working in our lives. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Have you ever meditated on God's wonderful works? You ever thought about it, really? Have you ever stopped to look at a spider web? Isn't that incredible? That little, they got 8 legs, 6 legs, 8 leg, eight, thank you, 8-legged little critter spun that thing. I mean, I have trouble enough with 2 legs. I don't understand how they don't trip all the time. But they spun that thing, and it's beautiful. Ever see it with, the dew hanging off of it? Or have you watched a fish swim? Anybody watch? I like fish. Anyone watched a fish swim? There is a slow and steady grace to the swimming of a fish. You realize God designed that, right? Stop. Think about it. Meditate on his mighty works, on the things that he has done. Have you ever stared out into the sky at night, on a clear night, when you can see the stars and the depth that's out there, and thought, God? Or been to Niagara Falls or the Grand Canyon, and seeing the power and the majesty of God at work? Stop and think about those things. The grand ones and the small ones. I mean, you could probably go out into your backyard today and find a million little miracles, a million things to wonder at, and you'll think, God. Actually, I think you should try that. Go out in your backyard today. Now, you know, you might need to put a raincoat on, but think of the rain. And think of the rain. The rain falls, and it falls gently. And, you know, Pastor Rich used to have this formula. I wish I had the formula about how much the water that falls on us actually weighs and what would happen to us if it all fell at once. We'd be squished, but it doesn't. Why? First of all, it's up there. And then it falls, and it doesn't squish us. Well, it's because that's how God designed it. Meditate on his wonderful works. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. Speak of it. Tell of it. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. Goodness and righteousness brought into the psalm here moves it a little bit past creation, doesn't it? Now there's a moral aspect to it. There's an ethic here. We're speaking of God as righteous and as good. And that has got to drive us to meditate on our own salvation, doesn't it? That God is righteous and good, and he chose to save us. And there's power in that act, isn't there? That's incredibly majestic, incredibly powerful. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses, but now are alive, made alive in Christ Jesus. His workmanship on display for all the world to see. We contemplate our salvation. We were saved, washed clean by the blood of Christ. Because we know that before God, before a holy God, we are like nothing or less than nothing. He is holy and righteous and good and so far above us. He is the standard of perfection, and we are so not perfect at all. I mean, we get we're not perfect, right? Bill, are you perfect? I didn't think so. We're not perfect. And we can't bridge that gap. We can't do it. In our own strength, we can't. It would be like trying to jump to the moon. Can you want to jump to the moon? Did I get there? Did I get close? It is so far away. We have sinned. We're less than perfect. Our acts are evil in his sight, and God by nature is bound. He has to, because he is good and because we are not good, he is bound to destroy the ungood. He is bound to destroy us. But because of his great love, and because he is gracious and merciful, because of his great love, this is incredible. He sent his one and only Son to the cross to die for us. Jesus took our sins on his body and gave us something, right? We got something in return, right? Not only did we get clean, we got our sins taken away, or the guilt of our sins taken away. We got his righteousness, which allows us to stand before him, which allows us to pray to him and allows us to praise him. Isn't that incredibly awesome? Isn't that powerful? Isn't that a reason to praise him? We will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. That's straight out of Exodus 34. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. He has persevered with sinful man for years and years and years and years and years, wishing for us to come to the knowledge of who he is, wishing that we would repent and turn away from our sins and accept Christ as our Savior. He is slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works, now we're turning, the works are talking back. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. all your works shall give thanks to you. Well, that's not just us, is it? That's also the angels, right? And there, the angels are before him singing, holy, holy, holy all day long, right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. But it's also the creation. Doesn't the creation praise God? Doesn't it? You know, I went out to look at my garden this morning. I got these little cabbage plants in the garden. You know what the cabbage plants are doing today, this morning? They're doing this. Do you get the picture? And you're saying, okay, Carl, that's just, they're just reaching towards the sun because that's the source of life for them. Yeah, well, who created them and designed them to do that? And doesn't God use the creation to remind us of spiritual truths? That we are to be lifting our hands towards our source of life daily. Praise God for cabbages. I mean, you know, how does a cabbage praise God? By being a cabbage, which really speaks to our sinful nature a little bit. How do we not praise God? By not being what we were created to be. And isn't that fallen man's condition? We're not what we were created to be. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. To make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory and majesty of your kingdom. And there's a kingdom coming, isn't there? This isn't it. This isn't the end of everything. There's a better kingdom coming. Jesus came and said the kingdom is near. God is going to bring in another kingdom, and it's going to be better than this one. It's going to be full of goodness and righteousness and truth and loving kindness. And I'm looking forward to it. And his dominion endures through all generations. See, David had a dominion, but David's dominion wasn't going to endure. God's dominion will endure through all generations. The Lord sustains, and now we're starting to move a little bit. Now we're moving from his power and glory and majesty to his tender, loving care. The Lord restores, or the Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who were bowed down in dependence upon him. When life drives you to your knees, when you're laying in the hospital bed, when you got nothing left in your own strength, the Lord provides and the Lord sustains. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in their due time. God causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous, and the sun to shine on them both. He blesses all of his creations, and he is the ultimate provider for all of us. And those of us who know him, he also provides for us spiritually, for man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. That's reason to praise him, right? You think? I think so. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. If we let him, he will. Whatever we're lacking, you know, whatever we lack in life, and all of us are lacking something, whatever we lack, we can find satisfaction in the Lord. We can find satisfaction in God. We can be completely fulfilled if only God is our highest goal. Because when God is our highest goal and we realize that we have him, everything else doesn't really matter so much. That's reason to praise him. That's reason to praise him. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, he is near. We've heard testimonies today about the nearness of God. When everything else seems so far away, we can count on the fact that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And in his presence, he'll be there, close to us, if we look for him. To all who call upon him in truth, Jesus said, the day is coming when you will worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to know him. And we need to be really calling upon him and to be believing in him truthfully. Everybody, You know, there's an old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, that might be true, but when they get out of the foxholes, most of them are atheists again. Everybody under stress will try to turn to a creator, to a God, to an all-powerful being. But do you know him when you're out of the foxhole? Is your worship in truth from the heart and in spirit? He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. If we ask him, if we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, if we believe that, not only hear, but hear and trust it, we will be saved. God guarantees it. It's in his word, guaranteed. And if we know him and we're struggling and life is crashing in around us, we can know he's right there with us. And doesn't that save us in a very real sense? I said earlier, I can't imagine going through difficult times without the Lord, because there is no hope. There's no guarantee of anything better. But with God, there is a guarantee of something better. There's a better kingdom coming. There's a God who loves you and is right here with you. There is eternity where you'll be with him, praising him forever, but you'll be with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. All the wicked he will destroy. Well, that's not a lot of comfort, Carl. Well, it's comfort if you love him, but we have to understand, if God doesn't destroy the wicked, if God isn't just, if he isn't holy, if he isn't righteous, if sin doesn't have to be paid for, then grace and mercy don't mean a thing. Really, they're worthless. Because what's grace and mercy if there's nothing to be saved from? What's grace and mercy if you haven't done anything wrong? It's meaningless. We tend to take God's character out of balance. We either focus too much on his holiness or we focus too much on his grace and mercy. But it's the fact that he's got both that makes him God. And without one or the other, he would cease to be. He would cease to be God anyway. The wicked will be destroyed, but God has made a way. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever and ever. And as was alluded to this morning, if we're not praising him, God can make the rocks cry out to praise him. Do we have reason to praise the Lord today? Can we praise the Lord in our hearts, with our lips, with our minds? Let's praise him for just a couple more songs this afternoon, and then let's go out into the world with the praise of the Holy One of Israel, with the praise of the author and perfecter of our faith on our lips. Let us praise the Lord. Please rise.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Father, you are wonderful. You are awesome. You are majestic. You are powerful. Father, you are righteous. You are gracious. You are merciful. Father, you are loving. Lord, may we go about praising you for those and so much more that you are, and for the things that you do and what you've created, and for the salvation that you have wrought in us through Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, may we never fail to praise your name. Amen. Go in the grace and peace of our Lord.